It's time for Firearm Friday, a podcast dedicated to bringing together the firearm industry and community. Now here's your host, from the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Chris Dover.
TGIF crew, and welcome to Firearm Friday. I am Chris Dover. Today we're going to have a conversation with Mr. Kelly Smith of Wild Country Tactical. But before we do that, I need to mention Gear Websites. Gear Websites is a great place to pick up some very cool firearm and Second Amendment related items. In fact, their Firearm Inventor playing card decks are hot off the press and in the store over there now. So be sure to check out everything that they have to offer over there on GearWebsites.com. All right, we got Kelly in the house this Friday. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I am well, man. I'm very well. First of all, thanks for being on. Appreciate it. I know it's been a project trying to get on the right schedule and all that stuff. Everybody's lives seem to be crazy, you know.
Always, man. I'm actually glad to be on, glad to be here, because I've got so much stuff going on for the 2019. You know, this is going to be a good year for us. Hopefully we can get some things built up, some new partnerships in the works, and that's what we're all about doing, is just partner with some of the good companies, best companies out there, to put out the information and knowledge that folks need to hear.
Well, before we get into some of those projects, if you would, let everybody know a little bit about your background, what started this whole journey of yours with Wild Country Tactical there.
Well, that's one thing that I really haven't told a whole lot of people about, how this came about, what came about of it. Really, I've been a carpenter's son all my life, and my daddy built houses and cabinets, and that's kind of one of the things that got me into wanting to do a lot of stuff with guns, because I like doing stuff with wood. And I said, you know, I wouldn't mind doing some gun stocks here and there, and looking at a few little things with stocks. And I got thinking, I said, you know, maybe I want to try to look at maybe getting my gun license. And that was probably 2008, right after the housing market crashed. So I started working for a company that was doing industrial plating. Well, got talking to some of the guys at the plating place. I said, oh yeah, you know, this little stuff we do here is called black oxide. We get in and do we do stuff like this. This is, you know, like what gun parts and stuff coated in. I said, you know what, that's a pretty cool idea. I said, I wouldn't mind trying doing this. It's an easy, simple process. And so that just got the ball rolling. Well, as we all know, life happens. So when life happens, things got put on the back burner, and I just said, you know, I'll figure it out later in life. And then kind of got doing some things, had a family, got married, and I said, you know, it's about time for me to start thinking about what we're going to do for the future. So I got playing back around with the ideas of doing the gun coatings, doing black oxide, doing some iron phosphate, and I said, you know, I got to get the knowledge of how to do all this, so let's put it all in motion. Started looking up, doing the information for my license, went and bought all this stuff that teaches you how, what you got to have, how you got to do it, and I said, you know, man, I this is going to be great. You know, I get in here, we got a building to do all this in. And about 2 months in, I found out my mother had cancer. About a month after that, my mother passed away. So it kind of slowed me down, but the paperwork was already sent off and everything was in the works to get the license. And the license come in, guy, we done all our stuff with licensed in July of 2014. I said, told my daddy, I said, you know, I'm willing to do all this, you know, so I want you to help me with it, kind of give you something to go help me with and kind of give you a place to be. And he said, yeah, he said, I'm willing to help you out, man. He says, this, boy, he said, I think you got a good idea, good hope, what you're going to do. About 6 months after that, he passed away.
Wow.
So everything kind of had to be stopped again, you know, to get some things in motion. Well, the building that we were going to do everything in, because we already had everything set up. It was ready to run, ready to have everything in place. And then when he passed, everything stopped. I had to try to figure out a way to keep the building. Couldn't. Ended up having to sell the building because of bad bank deals. Ended up losing everything. So after all that's happened, I've kind of put everything on the back burner, started getting into doing little small Cerakote here and there because I just needed something to pass the time to get my mind off of things. And then all that had died down because so much other things were going on in our lives. And then, you know, last year kind of was one of my aha moments when I started playing around with the YouTube, trying to get things going on with YouTube. I said, you know, I like doing this because I've always been kind of the guy that just wouldn't shut up. I've always been talkative. My wife would tell anybody that. But kind of getting through last year, at the end of last year, we finally got through over the hurdles that we were dealt with and losing my parents and all the stuff that we dealt with, had to be dealt with. You know, once we lost it, I said, you know what, it's time to step up, start something different, and move into a better direction. So I kind of got into content creating with YouTube, started doing a little more stuff on Instagram, started doing a little more stuff on Facebook, try to help promote people that I like doing business with, and there goes the dog. But, you know, doing that kind of stuff is where I like being at right now. And that's kind of where we've kind of got up to date with the things that's going on. And that's, you know, where I wanted to be at 5 years ago when I was looking to get my license is not where I wanted to be at today.
Right.
You know, I wanted a full coatings, OEM coating shop where people can send me stuff and we coat it, put it back in the box, ship it back to them.
Right.
And it, honestly, the setup we had would have been perfect. It would have been a great place, good business, because we had the building space to do it in. I had the know-how. We had everything there. And then when life happens that you don't account for, you kind of got to step back and think, well, where do we go from here? You know, what do we do now? And it's been one setback after another since 2014, since my mama died.
Right.
So, you know, now, you know, here we are trying to make 2019 better than we've left the last 4 years.
Right. Well, that's good that you make the decision. A lot of people live in the past. They live in the, you know what I'm saying? And
that was one thing that I've people have asked me, you know, how do you cope with it? How do you cope with it? I said, to be honest with you, I really haven't coped with it. I said, I've kind of just kept looking forward, just kept moving forward instead of looking back. I said, because I can't change what I know now.
Right.
I said, I can change what I got to go from here forward.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's where we're at now. I'm trying to change the things that we're doing now, the projects that we've got going on. That's what we're here to do, is to change forward.
Right.
And not look back.
Right. Now, with the jumping back to the coating part of things real quick, you're talking about the black oxide, and then what was the iron you mentioned?
Iron phosphating, manganese phosphates, and that's kind of the stuff that a lot of your barrels are coated in, a lot of your bulk carriers, a lot of your steel parts are coated in that stuff to help keep corrosion down. And that's one thing that I'm going to tell you, it's a big business. It's a good business to be in. Anybody that's out there that wants to know, and you got the money, that's a good business to be in. Because
right.
I don't see any slowing down in gun production anytime soon.
Right. Now, the simplified version, kind of the coding for dummies, what's the process like on doing something like that?
Well, and basically, it's just a tank setup of the black oxide salts. It's heated up to a certain temperature. Basically, when a part comes in, you just sandblast it, clean it up real good, dip it in the cleaners. They have a stripper that kind of a acid stripper that strips all the oils and all the blasting stuff, casting and stuff that's on it. Then you just take it and put it in the coating itself, let it set for a little bit, pull it out, rinse it off, dip it in a rust inhibitor tank, and package it up. And let it go. I mean, it's that simple. But it's kind of the process it takes. A lot of EPA stuff, a lot of OSHA stuff that has to be involved with it. That was some of the big red tape stuff that we got through. But, you know, I've already been through because the company that I worked for was an FAA repair station. So I was dealt that from day one. You kind of handle that stuff. So, I mean, that stuff, honestly, if I can get things in motion now to where I can free up myself, I'll probably go in that direction again. I mean, that's one thing that I like doing because coatings are simple, easy. And I think there's more out there that can be done, you know, because there's so many people that's got older guns that need to be repaired, and there's not a lot of people that, especially these bigger coating companies, that won't take on that kind of small stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, Cerakoting has gotten really, really big, and that's different. Cerakoting's different than what you're talking about.
Yeah, Cerakoting, you know, it's a ceramic liquid-based paint that they spray on, bake on. It's kind of similar. You know, you do the same cleaning, you do the same blasting, and you clean it off with denatured alcohol or acetone, whichever you prefer. And then you just basically mix the coating up with the hardener and spray it, stick it in the oven, bake it to a certain temperature and pull it out, and it's ready to go. But the black oxide and the phosphate, it's more to keep that corrosion from going anywhere. You know, it stops anything. You throw a little oil on it. You know, everybody knows you got oil your rifles. Well, that's the reason why. That oil and that coating that they put on it is actually going to protect that. Protect that finishing and protect that metal from rusting any further.
Mm, right. And it's more of a, I think a lot of the older firearms and stuff, you know, I've seen people Cerakote older stuff.
Yes.
But it seems like
and, you know, obviously, I take like a Henry.
Yeah.
An old Henry breakdown and do it in they have a, I think it's a gunpowder blue, I believe is the color of Cerakote, and it's a beautiful color on
really?
It.
Really?
You know. But yeah, Cerakoting's it's becoming a big thing, and you've got a lot of big guys out there now. You got Weapons Works LLC, I think he's out of North Carolina. You got Blown Deadline, which is probably one of the top guys. Anybody thinks when you think of Cerakote, you think of Blown Deadline, because I think Cerakote thinks he's the master of himself. But you got a lot of guys that has popped up since this evolution of customizing a gun to your attitude, your persona, you know, it's becoming a very big business, and I wouldn't mind being a part of that again sometime along in the near future, but it just takes time and little small steps here and there to get us back to where we need to be at.
Right. Now the projects you've got on the table now, you've obviously got the YouTube channel, you've got the Instagram going. Looks like you're hitting that pretty hard and heavy. What all's going on with those?
We're trying to build YouTube. The reason why I started YouTube was I got thinking, you know, I got looking at some of these channels, one of the biggest ones, the reason why I kind of tailored myself, that I said I wanted to start YouTube. And I don't know, a lot of folks know who the guy's name is. Johnson's right, is his name, but he's Tactical Toolbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was a big inspiration to me. The Gun Collective was a big inspiration. Mr. Guns and Gear was a big inspiration to me. Andrew over GY6 Vids, he was a big inspiration to me. And seeing these guys take these guns and show how to do this, how to do that, you know, it kind of made me think, you know, maybe I need to get into doing some of this stuff, because I'd like to teach people the do's and the don'ts, the bads and the goods, and that's kind of where we started molding, and like I said, life happened, and I've kind of not necessarily put it on a back burner, it's just we hadn't had time. Got a lot of things in the works for the coming year. That's one good thing I've got. We've got a lot of products that we're dealing with, some cool video that I'm hoping we can get out by maybe March when it warms up a little bit. It ain't 20 degrees outside. But IG, we've hit Instagram pretty hard. I started it right after we started doing YouTube, because I realized Instagram was a good platform to build our content. I do a little bit of Facebook stuff. Facebook has kind of died off since you can't really do any gun sales on Facebook.
Yeah.
We've kind of died off on it.
I still
try to cross pollinate my social platforms.
Right.
I still cross throw some stuff out there, but
yeah, it's dying off anyway. And YouTube is too. We were looking at some trends a few nights ago. I'm really big into the tech aspect. About 2 years ago, I've had my channel since 2015, I guess. And 2 years ago, New Year's resolution for 17. I guess it was. I decided, you know what, I'd sold my business retired from my business anyway, that I was in for about 2 decades, and I thought, I really need something to kind of go gung-ho at. I was just, I had grandbabies, and I had other things personal, but I didn't have a project, and I thought, I'm doing this, I'm sort of goofing around on YouTube and some other stuff, but if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. I need to put some time and effort and really get educated. And, I've always, since then, stayed up with tech and trends and a lot of other stuff. And we were looking the other night, and there's a clear drop in Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Now, Instagram is still on a rise, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
But those big platforms, and nobody remembers MySpace anymore. Nobody remembers Yahoo Chat or AOL Chat or
Web TV, taking it back.
Yeah, Blog TV and all of that kind of stuff. Nobody remembers all of that, and there's a reason. It's because they rose and they fail. And YouTube, Facebook, even Instagram, all these platforms, eventually something else is gonna die out. Something else will come along. That's just the way technology works. So. You kind of got to ride that ride.
Talking about YouTube, I actually got set up actually just this week with Gunstreamer. So I'm actually going to try to start pushing some more of my DIY videos that I'm going to start doing, because we got some more stuff in the projects and DIYs that I'm going to put on Gunstreamer.
Well, Gunstreamer is Gunstreamer's great, without a doubt. They're really, really pro Second Amendment, which is awesome, and they're really pro creator. They want to hear from us. They want, our ideas and input for sure. I mean, they want the platform to work as best for us that it possibly can, which is great. And I don't know if you paid attention, but they've got the new platform on, their new add-on or whatever now, where your viewers, followers can support you through there.
Yes, it's kind of like what they do with Patreon.
It's a very similar setup to Patreon. Still in the early stages. They've got a few more tweaks and stuff to do to it before it's where they want it to be anyway, but they've got an institute and it's working. So, that's great that they're looking at all the angles and they realize that this stuff, it costs money, to have a camera and for the internet bandwidth to do stuff and, have a computer that'll edit video and all these other things. I mean, you've got cost involved. I know, just looking at your YouTube channel, so it's a question that I've caught in my mind with that. You're killing it as far as the thumbnail game there and the title game. You really are. So did you pursue education or did you?
Well, I've done a lot of research. Uh-huh. I joined a Facebook group kind of a entrepreneurial Facebook group that kind of done a lot of digital media, digital world of how to build an income, build a empire for yourself. And so I started researching what they're talking about, reading the stuff, watching it. And I've had some help along the way. I've had some guys that helps me out that I'm thankful for. They don't charge me anything because I've helped them out with some stuff. But basically, I've watched them. All these guys that you see that's in the YouTube world, as far as digital marketing and digital media, they tell you your biggest thing is your thumbnails. Your biggest thing is your titles. Grab the audience attention, and that's what I try to do. My videos might kind of lag in the entertainment business, but we're working on that. But it's what I'm trying to do is trying to grab folks, because that's what you want. You want people to see what you got, the content that you're creating, the content that you're putting your heart and soul and time and money and time away from kids and time away from family, because this stuff takes time. And a lot of folks don't understand, it takes a lot of time, especially if you don't have a team of I guess you could say media production. If you don't have a team there,
right?
It takes a lot of time. And I a lot of these channels that we see, they have Talon Sy, I think is the guy's name, is does gun stuffing things. Mm-hmm. You know, he's pushing, I think, 300,000 subscribers. Well, he went full time back last year, and it's just him. A lot of these guys, it's just us. Like you, it's just you. And but some of these bigger companies, some of these bigger YouTube channels, they have a whole production team that puts out this stuff. So we, you know, I do all this stuff myself. I mean, that's what I like about it, you know, because I'm putting. It kind of goes back to what I'm gonna get into about the projects we got coming up. You know, that's I put a lot of heart and soul in the things that I do, and I want people to see that.
Right.
You know, and that's the whole point of seeing what we've got to say, seeing our words speak volumes for others. And you know, that's where we're going, and I'm hoping this year that I can start putting out more content at least. I want to try. I've been trying to do it once a week, but this month has been kind of hectic. But we're going to get back into hopefully full swing come March when things get a little bit warmer, where I can get outside and do some really fun videos.
It's a tough game, man. It's a tough game nowadays with the smaller channels. Bigger ones, the ones that have already hit that, you know, within the last couple years anyway, have hit that 100,000 mark or something like that. They don't have it nearly so bad, but, you know, smaller channels trying to come up now, it's brutal, and you're right. I mean, it literally takes 199% effort, not just 100%. And, yeah, education's key. I think you're killing it on that for sure.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I do. I try to do the best. I know when I first started this, you know, the YouTube thing, I was like, oh, I can use YouTube's little thing for editing my videos and editing this. And I started reading some of these other guys that was doing this production stuff. They were like, oh, you gotta have this. You gotta have cameras. It's the best. And I'm like, I might need to step up on some of my tools that I'm using. And so I started using Sony Vegas for my editing, which has been great. I use a lot of Photoshop, and basically with the little Facebook group I was in, I just asked, say, hey, you know, what's the best advice for doing thumbnails?
Right.
And this guy pops up and says, hey man, he says, you need to have this, you need to have the pop, you need to have the pizzazz. And honestly, a lot of people have said that's the first thing they notice when they pop up a like I've got one that I've done for the Mission First Tactical mag, which actually was my very first video that I've ever done. And that's what they say. That's the first video they see is mine. They see that thumbnail because everything else was boring.
Right.
And that's what I'll tell anybody in the business. Make your thumbnails pop, man. That's what's going to get you the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, colors, interesting, catch your eye, colors, text, human faces is one that a lot of people resist, and that does make a difference. And that's one of the things
really
that
does.
I noticed. One of the things I noticed immediately on yours, I said, okay, this dude's been talking to somebody, because that or he really loves looking at himself. One of the two.
Now, that's one thing I don't. I ain't the prettiest looking fooling on the planet, that's for sure. But I mean, it really has. It helps talking to people if anybody's wanting to get into YouTube. That's one thing. You need to talk to somebody that has been in YouTube for years. Listen to what they say, because what they used to do is totally different than what they do now.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and it changes all the time. In fact, there's some new policies that are, you know, on deck over the next 30 days, 60 days, something like that with YouTube that's going to roll out. And that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt a lot of people, particularly in the affiliate link game.
Oh, here we go.
Which you were talking about, Jonathan, you were talking about Tactical Toolbox earlier, and that's one of the big games he plays is that affiliate marketing game. And as far as YouTube's concerned, of course, he's over on Gunstreamer. So
yeah,
he does have that working for him. He's on. I think he's on Full 30, too. I'm not sure.
Yes, that's another one that I haven't really. I think I've got an account set up with. I just hadn't had time, man. You know how life goes, man.
That's a good place to be. Full 30's invite only, as far as being able to get your videos on there. But as far as the forum side of things, it's another place to branch out. I mean, I would definitely, I'm an advocate for being on as many platforms and in as many places as you possibly can, because if you're looking to maximize, you know, the reach for your message and what you're doing, then that's what you have to do. You have to be anywhere and everywhere you can possibly be. And, you know, though you may not be able to, the small channel, to get into the actual video side of Full 30, I mean, you can work the forums, and they're totally okay with you sharing links, and, you know, whether it's Instagram links or YouTube links or Gunstreamer links or whatever it might be. And so that helps. And, I mean, that kind of primes the pump, too. I mean, should things blow up for you, and I'm in the same boat, so I don't want to act, you know, I definitely don't want to talk down to you like I'm some big, huge channel. Yeah, I mean, should things blow up for you, then, you know, and Full 30 decide to bring you on, you kind of already have a base there, in a way,
yeah,
on Full 30 that's familiar with you and familiar with what you're putting out. So I think it can be a good thing to do. As far as the projects you've got going, tell us a little bit about those.
Whew, man, I tell you, guys, we've got projects out the wazoo right now. I've got, biggest thing that we've got going on that I've tried to tell everybody about is the new hashtag Freedom Squad 2019. A lot of people don't understand it, don't get what we got going on, but it's a giveaway project that we're doing, kind of collating what a lot of these folks have started doing that maybe do it one time a year, and what we're doing now is we're doing it monthly. We're getting a handful of companies up. We're going to promote them out to Wazoo each month so everybody can see what these companies do, what they feel about, how they do it, what they're producing. And if it's individual, because I got a few individuals that wanted to do it just for themselves, we try to get them on and say, hey, look, you know, show us what you're about. Teach us what you're about. Show us the thing that you want to teach. We kind of go over their views of the Second Amendment rights, our 2A community trying to, what we're going to do in the next future. Because like I said before, we're all about going forward. And this Freedom Squad 2019, it's more about us networking together as a whole community. And like I told you, it's not necessarily about the giveaway. Yeah, we're going to have some cool stuff because we've got some big companies involved in it. We've got Frontier Tactical. We've got Alpha Omega Kydex. We've got Foam Action Sports. We've got Condition 1 Cases. We've got Mississippi Brass. Oh, Lord, I'm probably going to make someone mad because I can't remember them. But we've got like 30-something already.
Right.
And I just started this like a month ago. But what we're doing is we're going to give away. Each company's going to put in something for a package. We'll start talking about them. We got Alpha Omega. He's doing a wallet, and then we've got Grip Chop. He's doing a stippled Greek River knife. We've got St. Michael's Coffee, which is a new coffee company coming out of Mississippi, Hattiesburg, Mississippi right now. They're going to throw in some stuff, and I think I'm going to try to do Trigger Safe this month, just because I'm good buddies with James and good buddies with the company. I've got plenty of supplies that we're just going to throw out to them. But each month, what we'll do at a certain time of the month, we'll do a live giveaway. Whoever's followed all the rules that we've got listed, once they follow all the rules, we'll let one of the companies pick the winner, package everything up, send them to them. Next month, we'll start all over again.
Right.
With a whole bunch of new winners and a whole bunch of new prizes, because like I said, we've got a ton of companies that's willing to throw in a lot of stuff to make this a great thing, to where we can all network together, build our community, teach our younger generation, because if we don't start teaching them now, I feel like in the next 10 years, our younger generation shooters will start dying down a little more because of the technology buzz. You know, everybody's
right,
sitting in front of a phone and playing video games. I'm bad about that myself, but you know, it's right, about teaching going forward.
Right.
And then, you know, we might do some more individual projects that we've got with some of the other companies, because I want to try to start doing some stuff individually with some of these companies, and hopefully maybe in the next few months start pushing more of that out too. But hopefully the biggest thing this year is going to be that Freedom Squad 2019. We're telling everybody, you know, if you've bought something in the near future from the or past from these guys that we've got dealing with, throw a hashtag in there with a picture. Say, hey, look, I got this from this company. They're a great company to deal with, because that's what I want to do. I want to show everybody that there's great companies out here besides some of these box stores.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because there's a lot of small businesses in this Freedom Squad that we're doing that deal with a lot of stuff in their carports.
Right, and some of the ones you've mentioned, I've dealt with before. Ross and the guys over at Foam Action Sports, for example.
Yes.
And of course, James with Trigger Safe. I don't even remember who else you but there was a couple in there, I know. Yeah, I really love dealing with a lot of the smaller companies, because, you know, they understand it and they get it. And a lot of them, it has to do with the dynamic because they're a smaller company.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not demonizing Big Dogs. I'm not demonizing Glock or Smith & Wesson or, you know, anybody like that. But that's a corporate structure at that point, right?
Yep.
Where some of these smaller ones, they can make on-the-fly decisions and things like that. So a lot of times you can get a lot more done. And so
yes,
when you're networking with the smaller companies, it can be exciting. It definitely
yes.
can.
Yes, well, and that's kind of where I'm hoping a lot of this goes, because, you know, like I said, we've got a lot of small companies that work. Some of these guys work regular 9-to-5 jobs, and they come home. As soon as they get off work, they're out in the carport, out in the garage, out in their little small business building out there. They're pumping out products that a lot of folks might not see. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these folks have small Instagram accounts, small Facebook accounts. Like some of these other guys we've got doing some work with, some of the training companies that we've got, have small YouTube channels that we're going to try to help grow as well. And they put out good stuff, good content, and good products. It's just, they're just, like, some of them are just localized. You can't find them outside the world of where they're living in.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to start doing this, to help these guys grow, help by throwing in some of the bigger companies in with them, that it would help push them even further as far as followers, views, gains, and sales, near future customers, you know, whatever it might be. That's what I want to try to help these guys, because in return, I'm hoping they're going to help me out in the process.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I've got some other things that I've kind of put on the back burner from last year. We had started up wildcountrytactical.com, and I kind of had to stop what I was doing, because it was just me trying to produce this stuff, and I can't produce it. And then I said, well, I've got so much stuff going on that I needed to do this, do that. And then it was like, man, I got to do this and can't do it. So when I finally got a chance to do it, I said, well, we'll start back over in 2019. So that's where we're at, working with these companies. And hopefully by mid-year, Wild Country Tactical is going to be back up again, especially the online sales, because that was something that I said, I got the federal firearms license, might as well put it to use.
Right, right.
Because I'm paying for it, so somewhere along the line, something needs to happen. I've got to do something with this, instead of just letting it sit there.
Right. Well, you know, and you know, exposure, you're right, exposure for some of these companies, not just exposure to get the company name out there or the product out there, but exposure just to sort of explain the product. Because, you know, I'll go back to James and Trigger Safe. That's something that going into that, my thoughts, and I think I've said as much when I had him on the podcast, I was like, you know, my initial thoughts was, why does the world need this?
Well, you know, that's, you know? When I contacted and talked about, see, I actually won one from his giveaway.
Oh, okay, nice.
A couple of years ago. So he sent me a bunch of stuff out and said, hey, man, just look at it. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, and then I start looking around the fact that, you know, how versatile is this? You know, what can it be better for in the near future? Mm-hmm. And started taking it out, shooting it with my, you know, usually with my rifle. I'm like, I got kids around, you know? And
right.
I'm like,
yep.
Because they love my kids. When I pull out my rifles to clean them, to even do anything with them, they're like, oh, I want to look. Well, when I throw that on, it even gives me a better sense of security.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're, my youngest one, oh, she's gung-ho about pulling triggers or something.
Well, it's human nature.
We got the little BB gun player around it. I mean, I couldn't tell her fast enough to hold on, to do this right, and she's trying to pull a trigger. She's got to go. So I was like, you know, there is a real-world application for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we went in-depth with, you know, the training potential for it, the potential in a training environment for it, potential for a truck gun, which I never once considered. But, yep. You know, you got something thrown under the seat, behind the seat, something like that, and, you know, particularly if you're keeping something chambered in it, right?
Yep.
You know, a tool could flop around or fall around or anything, right, and get up in that trigger guard. So,
especially like where I live out here in the middle of boonies, we ride dirt roads so much just to kill the time, and 90% of us has got a gun in our truck, so I don't care what you go there. There's going to be a gun in it, especially with that. You know, that would, I'm like you. That's a heck of a protection device to keep anything from blowing a seat off.
Right. Right. Now, you're over in Alabama, correct?
That's right. East Alabama. We're right here across, right across the Georgia state line, right off of I-20, a little small community now where we moved to. So we're just good old country folk trying to live a good old country dream.
Right. So how are the gun rights and the gun laws and all of that good stuff there in Alabama?
Well,
I know outside looking in, because I'm in Texas, right? And so Texas, everybody seems to think across the country, Texas is some huge bastion of gun rights freedom. And there are states that are doing a much better job than Texas, honestly. You never know until you talk to somebody in the state.
Well, right now, you know, where I live at, it's small. Well, I don't say small county. We get a lot of interstate traffic because that interstate goes completely straight through this county. Uh-huh. A lot of people has now, this county, especially this county, they've been a lot of gun-toting jokers for years. There's only, when this is strange, this is the biggest community to have of gun community, there's only two gun shops in the county.
Oh, wow.
And counting my license, hopefully moving now, would be three. But, you know, just about everybody I talk about has got a safe full of guns. Because you don't want to mess with this county. I mean, and it's just because I feel a lot of people think it's because the interstate goes through, because we have so much traffic coming from Atlanta, coming from out of Birmingham that comes through here. And especially where I live at, I live a stone's throw to the interstate. I'm going to make sure I've got enough protection here in the county for myself and my family.
Right.
Because we don't know what's going to come across like we've had. We've had people hiding bodies in cars, and drug traffic. So, well, actually, they busted back last year. They busted one of the biggest busts coming off interstate in state history.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's something that, you know, here, we're going to make sure we have guns. And that's one thing that's the reason why I tried to be a big part of it here in the county, because a couple of years ago, I wanted to start a gun club. Mm-hmm. Well, that takes money, that takes land, it takes people trying to push a agenda, and that's what we were trying to do. Everybody was like, oh yeah, we're good, you know, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna join that. Well, it never happened, because folks were saying they were willing to do it, but when it come down to it, yep, Nobody was really willing to do it.
Yep. And that happens a lot. Now, what about regulations and all in the state? They're pretty lax.
Yeah, they're pretty. I mean, I think they've changed some of them. I haven't really kept up with them the last year or two because I've been so busy with some other things. But we've got some good conservative senators. Actually, one of the guys, the company that I talked about earlier that I worked for, that was a the repair station, the FAA repair station. He was actually a senator. The guy that owned the company. And he was a very big conservative senator. So he's. When it comes guns, he ain't gonna put in a bull. I mean, he says it stops right here.
Right.
I like the guy. He's really good about what he does. And then we've got some that's in Birmingham that kind of I try to stay out of. You know, right. Birmingham's one of them towns. It's like, do I really have to?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it gets that way here in Texas too. When you get into the bigger cities and stuff, it's totally different demographic.
Yeah.
Here in Texas, I don't know if it's that way there. I don't know if a lot of people move from more Democrat-leaning states into Alabama, but they for sure do it here in Texas. And when they move in, they move into the bigger cities. And so, and usually those folks get really active in politics in the bigger cities too, which is another part of the equation that people. It's not just the influx from, you know, some of these more left-leaning states. It's that the influx comes in and then they turn around and advocate for things that they just left, which makes absolutely no sense. But it happens.
Well, now, you know, we get a lot, especially where I'm at, as far as state regions where I'm at, we get a lot coming out of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And we get people coming out of Atlanta, so they hate living there, so they move out here in the country, mm-hmm. and they realize, you know, they've lived in Atlanta all their life, and they get out here, it's like, it's not as bad as people say it is.
Right.
Because they think we're just wheeling guns and toting this, and they think we're just bunch of redneck hippie crazy folks is out here barbecuing dogs or something. You know, like we're not that away. I mean, we're just ordinary people trying to live our life, trying to protect us from everything else. You know,
right?
And that's right. Like I said, you get all of them. They come out here and they just like, oh, this is a little different because we got where I'm at. We've got several big lakes that's within an hour here, and that's where everybody runs to.
Right.
Yeah, because they go. We got folks that goes down to the lake about an hour from here. That they go down there and they'll build a house twice the size of what they live in town. And they're like, "Well, we just rather live down here because it's so much quieter and so much nicer." And everybody's, I'm like, "Well, yeah, because we're kind of just laid back. We love life, you know. We don't have to rush to do everything all the time."
Right. Right.
Oh, but yeah, it's the laws out here is just. I see it. They're probably, if they're going to change, it'll be, I want to say, as more to the good, because there's a lot more of the folks that's willing to stand up for the change, stand up for the right that we have, than there are ones who, per se, live in California, live in New York, Illinois, where they are just crammed down their throat with this anti-gun life, you know,
right.
But yet they have the highest crime rate in the world and in the country. And out here, you know, I can walk around and hang out with anybody in the county, and everybody's cool. You know,
it's right.
Just, right. You know, I mean, right. I've got buddies that's cops, and as a matter of fact, I met one yesterday, and I asked him, I said, "How are things going?" He said, "Ah, slow." I was like, "Well, that's what you wanted to be." Yeah, he said, "I like it." Our busiest times in summer when everybody starts getting a little freedom. But.
Right. Yeah, that's nice when they got to worry about the serving part more than the protecting part, I guess.
Yes.
That's what they want.
We get our fair share of. I tell you, the county used to be real big as far as marijuana growing, because we have a lot of national forest.
Right.
Man, it was. They were cutting them down and moving them in just as fast as they were cutting them down.
Right.
But things have changed. Time has changed, and now it's more the other stuff that goes around it. It right. harms more people than it does good. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I don't think any of that stuff honestly knows any bounds.
No.
You know, you've got people that, you know, for whatever reason, are going to choose to. You know, that's they're going to choose that as a livelihood. You know, it happened.
Yep.
I mean, look at moonshiners back in the day. It was the same scenario. I mean, it's nothing new. You know, we kind of want to pretend that the, you know, drug problem or whatever is something new, and that's something that's been around for decades. You know.
It's been around since. I don't want to get into the ten full hat kind of situation, but since the CIA brought it over here. but no, I mean, like moonshiner. I mean, my grandfather was a moonshiner. You know, so I mean, it's and that you grow up with that lifestyle. A lot of them grow up with that lifestyle.
Right.
A lot of them grow up with it, knowing that, well, my parents is doing this, well, I guess I need to do it too. And, well, you know, I think it's, we lack in society where I think from when I grew up as a kid, where you could walk around with your house unlocked, your car unlocked, not worrying about a care in the world, and as society's changed so much, and now we're sitting here, like today, we think somebody stole gas out of our car. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, that's where it's come down to.
Right.
You know? Because you got to lock everything, you got to bolt everything to the ground, you got to chain everything up.
Man,
I wish I could go back to when I was a kid where you could actually leave a front door open.
Wouldn't have to worry about it. Yeah, but you know, even with that, I mean, we still live in a country that is, you know, as far as safety and having to worry about, you know, life and death things every day of the week. You know, we live in one of the best ones on the planet for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, and that's what everybody, you know, everybody's like, I don't like the way this is, and I wish, you know, this freedom wasn't so free and this and that. And I said, well, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. It's a little different.
Right. and it's really petty. I mean, if you look at politics anyway.
Oh, definitely.
You know, whichever side you're on, you know, it really doesn't matter. Whichever side of whatever the argument might be, just a simple fact that we're able to have that argument or that debate. I don't know, argument's a bad word. That debate. Just a simple fact that we're able to have that is proof right there that we live in a good place.
Yep. Well, I mean, like I saw a documentary back. Gosh, it's been a while back about North Korea that they can't have love movies. They can't have love the books with teaching them other religions, and they can't have what was it? Only books and stuff that they can read is what the government says they can read.
Well, if North Korea doesn't allow chick flicks, then I might have to move to North Korea. I'm just saying, that sounds like a place I could dig right there. I might have to.
Well, speaking of chick flicks, I had just come up with a great idea, and I hope somebody takes this and runs with it. But I had, you know, a lot of women and stuff, and I can't say, but they love the Lifetime movies. They love that one. I said, somebody needs to come up with a new YouTube channel that does it like the old Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, heck yeah.
Make fun of the old LME movies. I said, oh, Lord, somebody's going to take this and run with it and become super famous with it. Because, I mean, you could do all kind of crazy stuff with the movies.
Right. Well, Kelly, we're up against the clock. So, if you would, tell everybody out there how they can get a hold of you.
Well, best way to do it is you could do either Wild Country Tactical at Instagram. You can do Facebook at Wild Country Tactical. If we get the website back up, you can do wildcountrytactical.com. Those, and you can look at YouTube as well as Wild Country Tactical. I think I have everything situated with it where you can look me up just directly on that now. But that's the best way, fastest way to find me. We're out here producing content for those who's willing to listen to what we have to say.
Awesome. That's very good. Thanks, Kelly, for jumping in, for coming on today. I really do appreciate it, and we'll be in touch.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. It's great to be here and great to get everybody to hear at least what I've got to say for once.
Thank you for joining in on another Firearm Friday. Don't forget to log on to clovertac.com. There you'll find our social media links, the blog, cool swag, and more. If you'd like to help support our projects and take advantage of some extra perks, you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/clovertac. Have a great weekend.